Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. My name's Wendy, and this podcast will help you invest in houses of multiple occupation. Hello, and welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. Now, today's episode is a bit different. I've been travelling around the country over the last couple of weeks and haven't really had time to record a podcast. So sorry if you have missed my dulcet tones, but I'm back. I'm actually sitting today. I'm not sitting in front of my computer recording this on Zoom or on my laptop, which is how I normally do it. But I'm sitting in my lounge with a lovely fire. So you could call this a fireside chat with Wendy. Does it get you in the festive spirit? Do you feel a bit Christmassy? Well, certainly it's been getting very cold here, and that's partly because our boiler broke down about 2 weeks ago. And although we have a very good plumber who's come over to fix it, it's a little bit of a complex system because we also have underfloor heating in our kitchen dining room that we had extended last year. And one of the valves has also gone on the hot water cylinder. So we continue not to have heating, although we have got hot water. And I do say that if you've got hot water, you can probably get through anything. We also have a lovely log burner. So I am literally sitting in front of the log burner, watching the flames flicker as I record this podcast. So hopefully you are also feeling comfortable wherever you are, wherever you're listening to me today. And thank you very much indeed for joining the podcast and for listening today. I have to say the last couple of weeks has been a bit of a whirlwind. I'm sure you will know by now, if you've listened to the previous episode, that the HMO Council Tax Reform Group won its campaign, which was incredibly exciting. I'm still dining out on that one. And I was actually at the Leeds Property Breakfast meeting on Friday that Paul Lanfear hosts. Go and look it up if you haven't heard of it. Absolutely brilliant networking breakfast. I think it's the third Thursday of the month when it takes place. And Paul's on social media. He also has a very successful podcast. So do look him up. And if you're ever in Leeds, or if you live in the vicinity of Leeds, or you're investing up there, I really recommend it because he's got some fabulous people who go to that breakfast. And I was lucky enough to be a guest of honour on Friday. And not only did I stay overnight beforehand in the hotel, which was a luxury, and I thoroughly enjoyed the spa, and met some very interesting people, actually, even in the sauna. You never know who you're going to meet, do you? But as well as that, I also got to sit at a table during the breakfast meeting and listen to other people's challenges and problems. And it was really, really interesting, actually, really interesting. And I think I'm going to be, in today's podcast, actually utilising some of what I heard and some of the challenges that people are facing, which I was hopefully able to help them with. And I thought I would expand on some of that here today. So today's podcast is to think about creating a funnel for your property business. Now, it's not something I think that a lot of people initially think about when they first start investing in property. Many people that I meet tend to start with their own funds. They tend to use their own funds to start with, and they're buying their very first HMO. They've got the funds to purchase. They may have the funds for refurbishment, but they are not thinking about offering any kind of service to investors. They haven't really thought that they might end up sourcing property. They haven't thought that they would end up teaching, training and mentoring. But all of these things are optional extras that you might decide to implement. And in fact, as I've gone on in my property journey, one of the things I've really learned is having multiple streams of income is incredibly useful. Not only does it mean that if one stream of income is slightly down one month, you've got another stream of income to rely on, it actually diversifies your interests as well. It means you meet different people. It means that you are focused on slightly different areas of business. And it means that if in one area of your life, let's say it's the property area, that it's going a bit slowly, or you know, you're struggling to find deals, that you've got something else that you can put your energies into. And I find that extremely helpful, because otherwise I think maybe my identity would be tied up in the success of one business. But when you've got maybe two or more businesses, it really allows you to have a bit more of a balanced viewpoint. And I'm the sort of person that actually really likes success. And I think I probably do have, you know, a sort of internal identity issue at the heart of it all. You know, I'm not good enough if I'm not being successful in my business. I'm not good enough if I'm not earning £20,000 a month or something like that. You know, I'm always trying to set myself those, in making sure that those achievements are happening. But, you know, sometimes they don't happen. And when they don't happen, you can take it very personally. So anyway, that's the kind of what I sort of think psychologically about why multiple streams of income are useful. When I first started to offer mentoring and training, I was actually speaking at a London event. I'd written my book, 101... What's it called? Remember the title, Wendy. 101 tips... essential tips for running a professional HMO. Yeah, it's so long ago. Dear, oh dear, I can't even remember the title. That's what it's called. And you may have read it. You may have bought it from Amazon. You may have got a deal whereby you just pay postage and packing. I will put the link under the podcast notes if you want to get your own copy. Although I'm actually running out. I need to go to the printer and ask for some more copies to be printed because I've only got about 20 copies left, actually. They've sold out on Amazon. And I've only got half a box left at home. So, yes, it's going to be limited edition only very soon. So I'd written this book as a result of systemizing my HMO business. And somebody asked me to go and speak at an event in London. And after the event, I was approached by a few people. And one of them said to me, would you mentor me? Now, at that time, I had never considered doing mentoring or being a mentor. I'd actually just come out of a job in higher education. And I decided that, you know, I wanted to kind of leave behind that lifestyle and that role. But maybe there's something kind of deep within me, which is a teacher. And I think maybe that's true, that part of who I am as a person, I love to share my knowledge with others. I love to help them to grow and take them on the next steps of their journey. And I believe that in life, we all need teachers. We all need somebody who's just a few steps ahead of us to help us onto the next level, the next rung. And throughout my business and my property experience, I've usually had someone there. Not always, there've been a few gaps, but usually I've had someone there who's been able to see the next steps on my journey. They've been there, they've done it, they've understood what I need to do to grow. And so I think that's part of what I do, and maybe the podcast is part of that expression of me sharing with you how I think you could grow, even though I might not know you personally, but hopefully what I share on the podcast gives you some useful advice. So today is thinking about a funnel. Now, when would we need a funnel in business? Well, actually, I think you always need a funnel, whatever business you're running. It's absolutely critical to a success of any business. Every business, whether they realize it or they don't realize it, they have a funnel. They have a way of taking their message, their product offering, their service out to the market. And that's really all that a funnel is. If you imagine literally, you know, let's say a plastic funnel, you know what I'm talking about. You can get them from hardware stores for like £1. And, you know, if you're trying to take something that's in a big container, let's say, you know, big container of water, and you want to put it into a smaller container like a bottle, a funnel is very useful because it funnels the liquid into the bottle. We all know what that image is. Well, a business funnel, a marketing funnel, is exactly that. It's taking the whole wide big world out there of lots of people, lots of potential customers. You know, in the universe, there's lots and lots of people in the globe that you could get your message out to. But what the funnel does is it sifts and sorts them into the bottle, which is your business. And that bottle is the container that allows you to work with those individuals. Now, different models exist for different funnels. Let me give you an example. Let's say I decided to start an HMO sourcing business. So I've been asked by a number of people, can you find me an HMO? And I could just start by going out and doing viewings. I could start to advertise. I could start to look for property. But really, that's a very wide and a kind of universal approach. And I'm not necessarily going to find the right people by doing that. Lots of people put banner boards up. Lots of people put up advertising. Lots of people put up adverts to say, you know, we buy any house. And that's one type of funnel. That's the funnel going out to the you know, the general universal market. But in an HMO funneling system, you might decide, well, actually, I need something that's a bit more specific. So I'm looking for people who maybe have got old houses that need some refurb doing, because if I don't find something that needs a refurb doing it, I can't add the value. And it might be you've spoken to investors, and actually that's what those investors want. They are not looking for a house that's already done up and beautiful. They want something they can add value to. But they also need something that's a good size. So your funnel needs to be able to attract people who own houses or know of properties that are both run down and also a good size that can then be turned into HMOs. Otherwise, you could be going to do viewings. You could be having contacts from people that are really just time wasters. They're wasting your and their time because you weren't specific in what you were looking for. Now, you might therefore start to design that first step within your funnel. So the people who will start to filter into your funnel are going to be those people who respond initially to something you put out into the world. And very often, what that first step of the funnel is something which will pique their interest. Now, it could be a written report. It could be a one-page document. It could be how to sell your old house fast. It could be I own a large rundown property. What shall I do? It could be any of those kind of titles that are aimed at your avatar. Now, what I mean by an avatar is somebody who fits your ideal description, the kind of person you want to pick up the phone to you to make an appointment so that you can have a conversation with them about the next steps. You want to get as many of those people in the top end of the funnel as possible. So you have to create something that is attractive for them, that means that they are going to respond to you. What's worth remembering is that if that avatar is a very particular and niche type of person in the market, then you need to make sure that your landing page or any other tools that you use to get people in that top end of the funnel are going to have to be attractive to help them to take action. Because if you're looking for just a few people who fit that category, then you're going to have to keep at it for quite a while. The other point worth bearing in mind is don't give up too early. Apparently, research tells us that people need to have 7 touches or, you know, 7 contacts with you before they take any action. So it might be that they see something you've done on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok. It might be that they've come onto your website. It might be that they've listened to a podcast or they have seen something else that you've done. Maybe you've been at an event, you've been speaking. There may be a multiple of different ways and methods, perhaps you YouTube, whatever, that they have contact, they have sort of had contact with you. Maybe not personally at this stage, but certainly that they have seen you. Now, this is a phase where they are looking at you, probably wondering about whether you're the right person for them to get in contact with. They're also testing to see how committed and determined you are. You know, if you only put up one Facebook post about it and then expect, you know, to get 20 responses, I'm afraid to say that just won't happen. It's not realistic. You're going to have to do different methods to be able to attract those same people. The second thing is that you'll have to slightly repackage the same message over and over again. So being able to keep the same message at core, which might be book a free 30-minute consultation call with me, or it might be download this this report, or it might be something that you've created. There might be something which can sort of set you aside, which can almost develop your own brand. what is it that you want people to do? What is the call to action? And remember, they probably need 7 requests of one variety or another before they will make that call to action. For example, think about your own life. How many times have you seen repeated adverts for the same item or service and just kind of skimmed past it? You haven't really focused on it. You've kind of glanced at it and then moved on. But you've maybe seen somebody speaking about something not just 2 times or 3 or 4 times, but maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And then you think, well, yeah, actually, they seem to know what they're talking about. They seem to be successful in what they're doing. I can see that other people are following them. I can see that other people are responding to them. I can see that the content is good. I can see that they're consistent. Yeah, maybe I'll actually give them a go. Right, I think I will book that free 30-minute call and see if I can get some value out of it. And that way, you will start to build up your credibility and you'll start to also build up some positive case studies. Now that, remember, is only the top of the funnel. And depending on how many steps you have to get that person to be an actual client or to close that sale may depend on what you're actually offering. Let me give you another example. Raising finance for a project, like an HMO project. So this is something I've done many, many times. And one of the things I've learned from this process is that building the relationship with the investor is critical. It's absolutely vital that rather than treating the investor as just an also-ran, as somebody who's sort of in the top of your funnel and, you know, you're just going to treat them, just going to get them through a series of automated emails and onto a webinar and then onto a one-day course, that's not usually the way to treat a potential investor who wants to lend you money, whether that's lend your business money or lend you money personally for your HMO development or your project. You have to really get to know that person. You have to understand what motivates them. You have to understand what risk profile they have. It's a personal relationship that you're building with that investor. And that will take time. Now, interestingly, the other thing I've learned about funnels for investors is they can be very squashed. So they're not very deep. In other words, there's plenty of investors out there. But the key is to make sure that you very quickly hook them in and make personal contact with them. And on that initial personal contact, you will be doing some of the funnel sifting and sorting. So in another scenario, let's say if you were running a training program or you had a book that you wanted to sell somebody, your funnel might be much deeper. So the first end, the first top of the funnel might be something that was a free item or a free report or something free that you give away. Then the next step is something which is what you might call a mid-ticket item. So it's something which is maybe, you know, a few pounds. And then the next step is something that's a bit more expensive, and then maybe a subscription to something that you're offering, and then maybe a year-long course. Those are typical funnels in the mentoring and training world. But when it comes to investment, one of the things that you must remember is this ultimately needs to be a personalized relationship. And the funnel for that, therefore, needs to be a different shape to the funnel that you would have if you're asking people to effectively buy something from you. So have a think about how your funnel currently works. How do you find those investors? And what are the steps that they have to go through before you get the money in your bank account? Imagine a long hotel corridor, you know, like one of these big hotels that you find in the States, you know, one of these big kind of conference hotels. And in fact, the hotel I was staying at on Thursday night had this corridor where I was staying. And it made me think about this, that all along the corridor, there are a number of fire doors separating out the different areas of the floor that I was staying on. And at each of the fire doors, you have to go through the fire door and then you get into the next section where all the rooms are. And you might go to an area where there's a lift or there's a staircase, or in America, you have vending machines and that kind of thing. I want you to imagine that you are going on this journey with a potential investor. So as you walk along the corridor, every double door represents the next step in your relationship with that investor. So the first portion of that corridor, where you're just walking along arm in arm with the investor, is really a time when they're getting to know you, who you are, what you do, where you work, what your knowledge is, what your experience is, what you can offer them, what kind of personality you have, what you're good at, what you're not good at, who your power team is, all of those questions that an investor is likely to want to know. You then get to that first set of double doors. Now, what do you do? Well, at this point, you want to move them on. You want to move that relationship on a little bit. And either you're going to do it or they will do it. And I always say it's better for you to be in charge of your own process rather than let them be in charge of it. Now, I would recommend at that step, you probably want to get something a little bit more secured in writing. Now, one of the important areas is the FCA regulations. So you need to get a formalised heads of terms ready so that you and your investor are clear about the kind of parameters on the offering of their money to you. But secondly, if you don't already know them, if they're not family and friends, then you need to get them to self-certify that they are a sophisticated or high net worth individual, so that you can then continue down that next second stage in the corridor. If that investor is happy to do that, you'll probably find that you can get through the next few stages much more easily. But this is often where the relationship stalls. And, you know, it's fine, because I've had many, many people that I've spoken to that have shown interest in investing, but actually when it comes to the crunch, they're not yet ready to commit. And that's absolutely fine. It's far better for them to let you know at that point that they don't want to go forward, or they're not ready to commit, or maybe something else has taken their fancy and they want to put their money in that particular project, rather than you wasting your time going down all those corridors with them, only to find that actually they have cold feet at the end of the process and you don't get the money. So each point along this corridor, you've got to have your check-in points. Now, the next check-in point, again, if you, this is in the scenario where you're raising finance from an investor, so you could say this is the next step in the funnel, is it would be a case of giving them, you've probably already given them some examples of how the money would be used, but maybe giving them a live deal or a live example of what you're looking for. And by this stage, you would have already got them to sign a non-disclosure agreement so they can't share this information with anybody else, and possibly even a confidentiality agreement as well. Things that just tie them in to you. Now, also at this stage, I would recommend that you get a credit rating, credit score from them, and you share your credit score with them as well. And at this point, you're then starting to disclose more information. Now, it depends how they want to lend you the money for the project. And this is where there are a few options. One of them might be that you form a limited company together. One of them might be that you form a contractual relationship between your two limited companies. Another one might be whereby they give you a personal loan and you then take that money and you then make it as a director's loan into your business. So these are some of the discussions that you need to have had prior to writing the heads of terms document. The key is to design that funnel, to think through each of those steps one by one by one, so that you know what deadlines, what landmark points you need to meet with that investor to make sure that you're furthering the relationship, that you're pushing that investor through that corridor. And I don't mean pushing in a forceful way. I simply mean leading the investor through the corridor. And you may find that some investors kind of get stuck halfway through. You either book a call with them and they don't turn up, and you don't talk to them for 3 months, and you know the relationship kind of falls out of bed. That's very common. Other times the investor may get cold feet or be distracted. Other times they may want to just go a little bit slower. And you will have to judge that during that period of time of getting the investor to effectively put their money where their mouth is. Each investment relationship will also go at a different pace. Some people are very, very fast. They want to make decisions quickly, and they're really willing to give you money very, very quickly after they've made that decision. And you'll have to judge that. You'll have to sense that. That doesn't mean to say that you should compromise, though, on the funnel process. You still need to go through all those steps in the funnel, because all those steps also act as a safety mechanism. Whether it's done fast and executed quickly, or whether it's taken over a period of months and done slowly, it doesn't really matter. Neither of those actually has necessarily an impact on whether it will happen or not. It's just the pace at which different people work. Some people will see your adverts or see your posts or see what you're doing and jump immediately, but then they'll take a long time to commit. Other people will take a longer time to respond, but then will commit faster. And there's all sorts of different reasons why that happens. It's the interesting part of human, I suppose, approaches, personalities, mindset. So what's the key here, though? Whether you're sourcing, whether you're doing rent to rent, whether you're trying to raise money as from an investor, whether you are trying to find property to buy, think about your funnel. Design your funnel, test your funnel, and add in more steps as needed, take away some steps as needed. Can you write out the steps one by one by one of what somebody needs to do to be able to get to the ultimate goal of either giving you a rent to rent, selling their property to you, being a sourcing client, or being an investor? Write out what the goal is that you're trying to achieve, and then effectively reverse engineer those steps. And I guarantee that when you've got those steps written out and you know exactly what the pathway is for that particular person through each of those steps, not only will you have clarity about what you're looking for and how you will achieve it, you will have a plan. And boy, oh boy, does it become much easier when you've got a plan like that. Because now you know who is at which stage in your funnel and what the next step is to move them forward to becoming that person who will meet you at your goal. I hope it's been a really helpful webinar today. No, it hasn't been a webinar, it's been a podcast. Maybe I'll do a webinar on it one day, though. Let me know in the comments if you'd like to have me hold a webinar on this. I think it's fascinating. Since I learned about funnels, it has increased my income by probably 100 times. It's a really, really powerful mechanism and tool for getting what you want from the people who want to offer it to you, who are out there, but you haven't yet met, or you haven't yet taken through all those steps in the funnel. I look forward to speaking to you very soon. Stay warm. Thank you for listening to the HMO Success Podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.